Author Christopher Hitchens says a culture that does not possess this common store of image and allegory as is found in the Bible will be a perilously thin one. To relentlessly seek to update it or to make it quote-unquote relevant is to miss the point, like yearning for a hip-hop Shakespeare. We're talking to multi-Grammy-winning hip-hop artist Lecrae.
It's time to step outside your comfort zone and check your reservations at the door. This is Crossing Borders, a show to help you provide a response for your hope and faith in light of the culture around us. Now live from the studios of WDCX, it's Crossing Borders with Michael O'Hara and Mick Curtis.
Hey, Mick, good to see you on another beautiful Saturday evening.
It is beautiful, and you know, we're not going to talk about the weather, but yesterday was Earth Day.
Yeah, and you know what? It was your daughter's birthday.
It was Caitlin's birthday on Earth Day every year.
Yeah.
And that's how I actually remember Earth Day.
I remember your wife saying that that Caitlin and all your kids went to Niagara Christian Collegiate.
They did.
Right on the Niagara Parkway there. And on Earth Day, they would always go around and they would
Little Earth Day events,
pick up garbage. So she would have to go around and pick up garbage on her birthday. And that's a great way to celebrate.
It's only right.
Yeah, it was good. So, I mean, that was we led up to Earth Day with our last episode last Saturday with AJ Swoboda.
Yes.
And man, what a great book. The Dusty Ones.
That was excellent. And enlightening also the evangelical eco-theology.
Yeah. I mean, really interesting stuff.
It was.
You know what? And I think we mentioned this last week, but the person who started Earth Day was a Christian.
We did say that. But, the thing is, I think that's so unknown.
Yeah.
You know, because it's been absorbed by a whole bunch of other people.
Right. And you know what? We wanted to challenge this political issue and redeem it out of that realm and say, hey, what does the Bible say about creation care and what should we be doing? And so he was a Christian that started Earth Day. And not only that, but his parents were founding members, charter members of the Assemblies of God. And then the grandfather was one of the people that was involved with the Azusa Revival. So there's a lot of stuff behind
that. That's a deep history. That's a really deep history. Hey, also, yesterday, in addition to being Earth Day, was the first day of Passover.
Yeah, yeah. So on the Jewish calendar, right?
On the Jewish calendar. Well, on the secular one as well.
I mean, right.
They kind of line up that way when you...
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting it mixed up here. Yeah, so Passover, talking about dates today... is the 400th anniversary of the death of Shakespeare. So I wanted to read that quote that was by Christopher Hitchens that I saw somebody on Facebook post today. And it was saying that a culture that doesn't have the imagery and allegory that's found in the Bible will be a really thin culture. And to constantly be trying to manipulate or to reword or to update and make the Bible quote unquote relevant is to miss the point that we can really have depth and expanse with our imagery and how we can express ourselves that's found in the Bible. And then it goes on to say, is like yearning for a hip hop Shakespeare. So I just thought that was really
a good lead in.
A really good lead in for today's show where we're talking to Lecrae.
Yeah.
The thing is though, when quote is talking about culture, there are different cultures, and hip-hop itself is a culture all of its own.
It is a distinct culture. Yeah, very distinct culture. And when we talk about a specific style of music, we really miss the wide part or the extremely wide dimension of the hip-hop culture. It speaks to a wide swath of people. It's kind of like saying if you just go, oh, that's hip hop, and kind of move on, you miss the fact that it's as big as country, you know, and country's big.
Did you say country and hip hop in the same sentence?
I suddenly feel like a burning in my mouth, but yes, I did say that.
I mean, those are two diverse genres, but what's really similar is that both of those genres are really lend to storytelling. Social commentary, something that speaks to real life experiences.
Yeah, it does, and it's experientially based. You know, the storytelling that goes on. It's and obviously, just like there are you know, deeper, more philosophical country artists that are telling tales worth telling.
Yeah.
You know, there are hip hop artists that are doing the same thing and that are telling tales that are, you know, they're stories of their culture. They're stories of the life they're living and the people around them, and they're relevant to the people that are listening.
Yeah, there's some deeper meanings more than, you know, just a little red Solo cup or something. You know, I mean, there's and Lecrae is a master. I mean, he has, and that's who we're talking to today. You know, we are 2 weeks out from his book release. He's writing a new book called Unashamed. It's his memoir of sorts, and it tells his story. And that release is May 3rd, so we connected with him on that. And it does tell stories, and Lecrae has won multi-Grammys, has just broken all kinds of records, has crossed several borders, and so is it really fitting to have him on as a guest on WDCX's Crossing Borders. So I caught up with him a couple of weeks ago, sat in the studio here at WDCX, and wanted to ask him about his book and about his life growing up in the Houston area.
Yeah, well, you know, come from a generation of matriarchal women who had to kind of struggle to make it work, from my grandmother, great-grandmother, grandmother, to my mother, who, you know, fought as a single parent to kind of provide and keep food on the table and try to help me avoid a lot of the traps and the pitfalls of just, you know, growing up as a young black man in the city. And she did the best that she could, but obviously there was still a lot of influences that kind of took over and got me into a lot of troublesome situations. But by the grace of God, you know, I had people who intervened and really kind of stepped in to give me some direction and some wisdom along the way. And here I am.
You said the nickname Cray Cray. You were kind of a crazy kid. There wasn't anything that you wouldn't do. Tell us some of the stuff that you got involved with, just so we get a kind of a full picture.
I think it's the typical mischievous things, but I mean, obviously, they're just kind of in the environment where I was in. Your mischief and your mayhem may not play itself out in playing a game of hide and seek or tackle football, and so you know it turns into, you know, pointing you know, BB guns at cars and trying to make people feel like you're trying to rob them, or tagging up houses with gang paraphernalia and stealing and you know, getting brought home by the police for various different things. And so didn't have a great outlet to express ourselves as kids, and so we kind of picked up what was in front of me, and a lot of times it was criminal behavior that just got us in trouble.
So what was the turning point? What was it that kind of brought you to the Lord?
Well, you know, I had a spiritual foundation with my grandmother, who was, you know, she had been through a lot in her life, and God had really changed her life around. And she'd seen God really transform her, so she was real adamant about making sure we had those kind of faith foundations. So I kind of had an idea of who God was, but I just could not imagine myself as a Christian, because Christians to me were really people who pretended that they had it all together. They wore, you know, nice suits, and I just couldn't see it. That was not the environment I came from. I went to a conference in Atlanta, and it was the first time I had seen Christians who looked like me, talk like me, dress like me. You know, they were regular people, and they weren't trying to hide their faults and their flaws. They were really honest about them, and it made me feel as if this is a place I could belong, and hearing the gospel there really transformed me.
Was this a conference where you saw the group, the Cross Movement?
It is, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I appreciate about them, and I think maybe this is what grabbed you too, is that they're hip-hop, but they're really about being sincere and real and proclaiming, you know, this message across boundaries. And it goes right along with our name of our show is Crossing Borders. That's what we want our people to do that are listening to this program, to live out their faith everywhere they live and just be real.
Absolutely. Positively. I think, you know, leaders lead in vulnerability, and people gravitate toward authenticity. And, you know, when you can show your scars off to the world, people see your scars and they can imagine their own wounds being healed. Mm. And instead of trying to cover your scars up, you pretend like, you know, your arms are clean. You show them off and you say, hey, there's a divine healer who can handle any wound you bring to him. And that's really kind of the message that we bring.
Yeah, there is a divine healer that we can bring to all of our problems and all of our issues, no matter where we come from.
You know, one of the things that that strikes me, he was raised by a mother that, while, you know, raising children alone is a difficult thing, she still insisted on a standard of godliness. And in spite of
that, or at least his grandmother.
His grandmother. Yeah, you're right. But in spite of the difficulty of that environment, it was still a spiritual foundation of a grandparent that planted the seeds of faith. And here he's not using that as any kind of crutch. He's rising up above that, right? And saying, and or at least acting out that, you know, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is part of me. But he's not using it as an excuse for anything.
Yeah, you know, just 3 weeks before Mother's Day, that's a great point to bring out the difference that someone, especially mothers, can make in the life of their children, and the things that we can impart. I would disagree with you a little bit there. Is that I think Lecrae, just like his latest album Anomaly would say, is that he's a bit out of the norm, and that he is using his skills and artistry and giftings to help educate and inform and combat systemic issues in our culture that do have things slanted a certain way. You know, so he didn't grow up with a father, and that was probably one of the biggest issues that he had, and that's probably why he got involved with the Obama administration's father initiative. I forget the exact name of it.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's a fatherhood initiative or the fatherhood challenger, but it's one of those that, you know, where he gets involved in mentoring young men on basically how to be fathers, how to be appropriate fathers, you know, and what real manhood means.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important, you know, and as we'll hear later, Lecrae got involved and got in relationship with other people, and discipleship was a big thing. And we can see how we can disciple. And we've talked about this many times, that we should disciple in part in Mathetusate. We should add and multiply ourselves into other people, especially the people that we are doing life with most frequently.
Right. That's
the heart, kids.
That's the heart of mentorship, but it's the heart of fatherhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, your kids are going to be like you. Mm-hmm. They really are. And you can look at it from the side. And in my case, I was always a little concerned about that. but you know, I look at them, and thankfully they're a lot like their mother as well. But I look at my kids, and I know that they really are they're the image of what was stamped on them at an early age. So, you know, when a child is, you know, working without having that fatherhood stamp, you know, what you get is sometimes a difficult outing.
So we're a product of our environment, but
absolutely,
we have choices to make at the same time. So this could be a huge discussion, and we are just getting started with our interview with Lecrae. Part of what we just said was talking about getting around other believers and the impact it can make, and getting in community. If you are looking for a Christ-centered community that's looking towards Christ and growing towards Him, and you live in the Niagara area, how about Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines?
Are you tired of the same old, just the same daily grind, day after day without anything to look forward to? Did you know that you can find keys to happiness right in the Bible? As the scriptures say, for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Join Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines this spring as they journey through the habits of happiness in the book of Philippians. Let Paul's letters to the church empower you to grow healthy relationships, keep your heart happy, keep from stressing out, learn the 5 daily habits for happiness, and more. Don't let life drag you down anymore. Connect with the Habits of Happiness series going on now at Full Gospel Church at 375 Carlton Street in St. Catharines. Pastor Jim Wright will guide you through this practical book to a more fulfilling life. For more information, visit fgcniagara.com. That's fgcniagara.com. Where connecting with each other is not just a slogan, it's what we do.
Find us on Facebook at WDCX Radio.
Concerts, remote broadcasts, events. You'll see the WDCX staff out all across the region at great events all year long. To find out where we'll be, head to our events page at WDCXradio.com.
Sometimes what your relationship really needs is a good laugh.
My wife is a morning person.
Look, sleepyhead, shut up! Time to get up, up, up!
Do you know what I would rather hear at 6 o'clock in the morning? Everyone on the ground, this is a stick-up!
The Date Night Comedy Tour. It's live, spontaneous, and sometimes crazy. Coming to Mississauga, Toronto, Welland, and Whitby, May 12th through the 16th. Featuring comedians Jason Earls, Steve Geyer, and Timmy Boyle. Sponsored by WDCX. For all the details, head to funandfaith.ca.
I'll stay here another night if I gotta sacrifice.
Digging deeper and diving in to equip you to build bridges with those around you. This is Crossing Borders.
You can stay if you like. I'll see you on the other side. I wanna live the free life. I'd rather be an outsider.
Yeah, we're talking to Lecrae on this edition of Crossing Borders. That song is Outsiders from his album Anomaly. Hey, if you heard that last promo of events, summertime gets really busy with us here at WDCX. And man, the date night comedy tour is going to be fantastic. From the 12th through, I think, is the 16th. We got dates at in Mississauga. I'm going to be at the one at Tyndale University in Toronto on May 13th. We got Alden Community Church in Welland, Ontario, and Whitby, Ontario. Go to WDCXradio.com for more information about that. So Outsiders and Lecrae that we're talking to, really, Lecrae is crossing so many borders. That he, you know, I read a recent article about how he was up for his third Grammy nomination. He was at a pre-party with Nicki Minaj and Jay-Z and all these folks, and he was saying how he could see the separation and how he felt on the inside but on the outside. And when you're crossing different borders, you're crossing different barriers. You can really feel alone at sometimes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, and one of the things that is, it's appealing and yet it's a burden, I think, as well. He is he's so widely regarded, both in secular and Christian circles, but also in different genre circles. I mean, there are people who will listen to him that don't listen to any other kind of hip hop. Now, I have to ask this.
Yeah.
Do you normally listen to hip hop?
Oh, I listen to a wide range of music. So on the way in, I was listening to All Sons and Daughters, but you know, which is really kind of a grassroots. They got kind of bluesy sound.
You played a little for me, but
last week, yeah. And then Lecrae or POD or just about anything. I listen to a wide range of music styles. Yeah.
Well, I am not, as my age would probably tell you, I'm not a big hip hop guy. I don't, you know, if I hear something and it sounds appealing to me, I'll kind of listen to it for a bit. But my one of my sons, my youngest son, Steven, He has been telling me about, you know, hip hop and this kind of music, and he plays it for me periodically, and there are some really good, you know, but it's really easy. My son talks about guys like Lecrae, but also guys like Kendrick Lamar. Now, you know, when you contrast the two, and they are contemporaries and they know one another, you know, you see a real stunning difference in Lecrae, somebody who's bold about his faith and lives it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking about this earlier about some artists that seem stagnant, right? They're maybe even not in musically, but their growth in spiritually. And if we look at Lecrae, where he's come from, and I mean, how many people that flunked ninth grade gym would be studying, you know, rubbing elbows with John Piper and studying Francis Schaeffer
all the big names.
I mean, and digging into some really theological and scriptural foundations. And if you thought Lecrae was, if you like his music and think that's all what he's about, you're sorely mistaken. I mean, this guy's got some great roots, and you should really, really dig in. In fact, if you are a fan of Lecrae and you'd like to have a comment or you'd like to request one of the songs from his album Anomaly, we are giving away books to Stephen Furtick's new book, Unqualified. So for anybody that calls in, we're going to put your name in a hat and draw those out. So participate. Call us at 716-833-5000 or anywhere around North America at 800-684-2848. That's 1-800-684-2848. The phone lines are open, but you can call while we get into this next clip. And I asked him about that. I said, what about you digging into to this theology and where you came from and your background? What about you growing in spiritual maturity?
A lot of it just comes from being so far behind the curve in terms of understanding what I believed, that I became a student and just wanted to understand, you know, the systemics of everything and how everything worked. And so that led me to seminaries, to institutes, and exposed me to different teachers and thinkers and leaders, and they all served their purpose, you know, from Frederick Douglass to John Piper to Tom Skinner to Francis Schaeffer. They just all were influential thinkers that I was able to pull from and help round me out a little more fully.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they influence you, but you are influencing people with that same message when you write about don't waste your life, or you're putting out different interviews with Piper and things like that. You were mentioning Institute, and soon we're going to be talking to Pepper Horn, who's the global director for Downline Ministries. And from what I understand, you went through the first year of Downline Institute.
Yeah, I was a guinea pig.
Okay. Right. So under the leadership of people like Ken and Vaughn and Sue Campbell and all those guys, what was it that you were after?
It was an environment. It was kind of a clustering of individuals who wanted to have a vertical understanding of what they believed, but a horizontal outworking of that. And Downline was a great place for that because it was about not only absorbing a lot of lofty truths, but fleshing them out in tangible ways via, you know, pouring, you know, investing in others and mentoring and discipling and missions and, you know, restoring the cities that you lived in and, you know, what it means to be a man. And so that was just some firm foundational work that happened for me there at Downline and exposure to a lot of great teachers and thinkers as well.
And you were living in the Memphis area for a little while?
Yeah, I stayed in inner city Memphis, a neighborhood called Binghamton for years, and was, you know, I was there to serve the community, but they served me far more than I could ever serve them.
What was it about Downlines that you, how would you recommend Downline to other people out there?
Everyone doesn't have the opportunity to go to a big seminary or a Bible college, but this Downline is an opportunity to get the same dissemination of information, but they're also going to challenge you to flesh it out. Whereas, you know, in schools and academia, it's more about just absorbing the knowledge and not so much living it out. And Downline is kind of very hands-on. They want to make sure that you're actually engaged in applying what you're learning at the same time. So this is very unique, and that's why I would be a big advocate.
Well, Lecrae, say I won't just go to a commercial break right in the middle of our interview. So say I won't. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get back into it with the doctor of hip-hop. That's right, I said doctor. We'll find out a little bit more about that in just a moment. Yeah, so that's part of the recording that we did a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, Say I Won't. Yeah, some of you fans of Lecrae will recognize that song name. And we're going to set up a few things. And when we come back, we'll get right to the phones with Steve that's calling in. And another phone call, we'll get that name on the board. And we'll get to those phone calls. Say I Won't go to a commercial break.
Say I Won't. Why y'all scared to be different? Say I won't. Why y'all scared to be different? Say I won't. We them outsiders, that's just how we live it. Say I won't. And I bet I will. You can say I won't.
City as a B.I.G. Wanna serve these bars, got C.I.D. Now I'm on a radar where B.I.B. was a slave for the cause, then we got free. Used to only wanna pull up in a black sport. Just a white man.
Are you tired of the same old, just the same daily grind, day after day without anything to look forward to? Did you know that you can find keys to happiness right in the Bible? As the scriptures say, for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Join Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines this spring as they journey through the habits of happiness in the book of Philippians. Let Paul's letters to the church empower you to grow healthy relationships, keep your heart happy, keep from stressing out, learn the 5 daily habits for happiness, and more. Don't let life drag you down anymore. Connect with the Habits of Happiness series going on now at Full Gospel Church at 375 Carlton Street in St. Catharines. Pastor Jim Wright will guide you through this practical book to a more fulfilling life. For more information, visit FGCNiagara.com. That's FGCNiagara.com. Where connecting with each other is not just a slogan, it's what we do.
Hi, this is WDCX's Michael O'Hara. Andrew Farley, author of The Naked Gospel. A.J. Swoboda, pastor and author of The Dusty Ones, Why Wandering Deepens Your Faith. Grammy-winning hip-hop artist Lecrae, and well-known pastor and author Tim Keller. What do all these people have in common? They're all guests for the month of April on WDCX's Crossing Borders. Join me and my co-host Mick Curtis as we talk about sharing God's radical grace, a biblical approach to the stewardship of creation, boldly declaring the gospel and making disciples across cultures, as well as a life-giving experience of fellowship with God through prayer. Oh, and we'll be giving away copies of Stephen Furtick's new book, Unqualified. It's all happening this month, so join us for Crossing Borders this and every Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WDCX.
The all-new redesigned WDCX app is now available. Whether you have an iPhone or an Android, the new app is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. You'll have access to our website, WDCXradio.com, the HD1 stream, and our Facebook and Twitter pages. Don't miss a minute of your favorite programming. You can even listen to great worship music on our HD2 stream. This new app is amazing. I've downloaded it on my own iPhone, and I hope you'll do the same. Pass the word along. Tell your family, your friends, tell everybody you know about the new WDCX app today.
We are not of the world, but we're learning to be in it. Crossing Borders with Mick and Mo starts now.
Yeah, Tell the World with Lecrae. You know, Tell the World, that's really what Lecrae is doing by crossing all these different borders and boundaries, that he's able to bring a message to a group of people that may not have heard it and or may not have heard it in the language that they understand. You know, you may or may not be a fan of Lecrae, and you may have thought there wasn't too much depth to him. I would sorely disagree, and I think there's a couple of fans on the line that would disagree as well. How about Steve here in Buffalo? Hey, Steve, you're a fan of Lecrae's?
Absolutely, yes, sir, Mike. I started listening to him about 5 years ago. Picked it up from a friend of mine, and I haven't stopped listening to him since then. I, as a kid that grew up in the 90s, I listened to a lot of hip-hop. I listened to, you know, Beastie Boys and Digital Underground and Run DMC, that type of stuff.
You are reaching back.
Oh yeah. So I always listened to it and I enjoyed it. And then as it progressed, you know, and to me, you know, I always kind of felt uneasy sometimes listening to some of the newer artists, just because of always talking about guns and sexual violence and all that type of stuff. And it just, I mean, I still listen to it because I like the music, but sometimes it just never really sat easy with me to the point where I started buying albums that didn't have the swearing in them. I'd go online and purchase them, and they wouldn't have the swearing in them.
Mm-hmm.
But as I found out from this friend of mine about Lecrae, he gave me one of his albums, Rebel, and I started listening to that, and I couldn't stop listening to it. It was on repeat in my car constantly, to and from work, and when I came home, I'd bring it in the house and listen to it, and it just, you know, and at that time, I was struggling with my Christian beliefs. You know, I was like, you know, what's it all about? You know, what's it, you know, if you know, going to the churches I was going to and the things with, you know, sometimes with judgmental eyes that he speaks about in Outsiders, and just, you know, looking at that and saying, you know, I know that's not what Christ is all about. And this opened my eyes and made me, you know, think more about it, and which our whole family is big fans of. We actually went 3 times last year to see him in concert. And enjoyed it with him and Andy Mineo up in Rochester. And I think he's really opening doors for some of these other artists that may have been more local, that they are now branching out because they see the acceptance of what Lecrae has done, and they see that there's people out there, you know, that want this. They want this music, but they don't want, you know, the style that's out there right now by, you know, by regular entertainers. You know, they want to hear something that's, you know, and all his music is in Christ-based, but it's all good music. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the common theme, is that he reaches out and he touches all these areas where it may not be a Christian song per se, but he remains a Christian through all of it.
So, right, Steve, right. Would you say that as being a fan of hip hop, that Lecrae's music was able to reach you better than other forms?
Absolutely, and I think it was because, like, again, like I said, growing up with having, you know, a love of hip-hop, that reached me more. Not that I don't like other Christian music. You know, I love, you know, Casting Crowns and Michael West and all those guys, Skillet. But I think it touches me more, and it's rather than when I hear another song, and I may just hear it, it doesn't necessarily touch me like I think the Christian hip-hop. And I think that's what we need for the more urban demographic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, reaching out to those people. I'm sorry, but you're not going to get a kid from the city, 14 to 16 years old, to grab a Michael West CD. I'm just not gonna.
Well, and it's,
you know,
it's,
because that's not what they're about.
Right, and within your culture, right?
Exactly. And my son is 9 years old, and he loves the Cray. He loves Andy Mineo. I'll be watching him build Legos sometimes. And it's funny, you had the Say I Won't on. Because he'll be sitting there and just singing away, singing Say I Won't or Muddy Water or whatever, you know, just going along singing it. And that makes me glad, you know, that he's not, you know, again, not that any of this other music you shouldn't listen to, but I would rather him sing that than, you know, singing a Maroon 5 or a Justin Bieber song, you know what I mean?
Well,
so it's just, and that makes me, you know, feel good and know that, you know, that he's getting touched by it too because he remembers the words.
Absolutely. Hey, you made some really great points. Steve, I really appreciate you
calling in.
Tuning in. Hey, so what do you think about that? Music has a great way of sneaking past your brain and getting into your heart.
Oh, isn't that the case?
Especially when it's a genre of music that you like. What about William in the Western New York area? William, what do you think?
I think you need something that just gets you to move. I mean, most of the stuff you're used to, you know, hymns just aren't going to do it constantly. And I listened to all those Casting Crowns, and in fact, I listened to hip hop on Pandora. I started writing down the songs so I could get their CDs. Israel, New Breed, Flame, and R. Swift, and Group One Crew, because you don't hear them. Some of those songs that I wrote down, like Awesome God, is way different, and I like it. I Am Not Forgotten. And Forsaken, it makes you want to get up and dance. motivates you.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight when I dance, but I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, some of them, I mean, I like Casting Crowns. I like Chris. I got Chris Rice. I like the rest of them, but mostly they're just, like, sadder. They don't really, like, motivate you to get up or give you energy to do anything.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely true. I mean, there's something about the power of music, and William, sounds like you're a fan of multiple types of music. Really appreciate you calling in, and Steve and William, both your names are going to go into the hat for the Stephen Furtick's book. Hey, Mick, so back to the interview with Lecrae. I was asking Lecrae, back on his Higher Learning tour on March 14th, he was in the Toronto area. He was actually at Canadian Christian College. And before the break, I was talking about Dr. Cray, right?
Yeah.
So they actually honored him with the honorary doctorate degree.
Like, it really happened.
What?
It really did happen. Like, you're not just joking about this. It happened.
No. Yeah. So I asked him, I said, okay, so we got to call you Doctor of Hip Hop now?
Very, very honored. That was amazing. My mother is still ecstatic about that one.
So everybody's got to call you Dr. Moore? No, we can.
I'll just probably do that when I'm like 50 or something like that. It'll make sense.
Well, okay, so this was part of your Higher Learning tour. Across this tour, across the United States, part of that tour is you are also doing book signings, and you're talking about your book, Unashamed. Let me get into a couple of your songs here. So, some from Anomaly. I think I've heard several places you say that you're really kind of like an anthropologist, mm-hmm. that you like to study mm-hmm. society. And earlier, you were talking about systemic things. How about we talk about Dirty Water and social commentary? What's going on in our country, and what can be done to fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it is systemic infrastructures that, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, is really built off of a lot of pain and turmoil and tyranny. And I think instead of addressing those wounds,
mm-hmm.
We've just tried to scathe over them or say, hey, it's over now. Can we move forward? But we don't really think through how those things have the long-term effects of those things. And so, you know, something like the dispersion of Native Americans or 400 years of slavery. Those things have lasting effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're seeing now in society is that racial tension, it didn't go away. You know, there was some opportunities given and opportunities for equality. But I think within the last 30 years, there's been a silence, specifically from the evangelical community, about the systemic effects of race in America and North America. And because it's been quiet for 30 years, now all of a sudden when someone says something, or when we see incidents like Baltimore or Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
The church doesn't really know what to do because they've been so out of the loop for the last 30 years that the church really is kind of like their hands are tied. And now there's this explosion on the scene, and we're kind of sitting here saying, okay, well, what should we do? Is there anything we can do? And so that's some of the stuff that I think we have to think through, we have to process, and it's difficult specifically for Christians because our paradigm and our theological framework doesn't always give us direct answers for how to think through this stuff.
Yeah, there's something missing about where the gospel meets the street. One of our previous guests on this, Noel Castellanos, we've also had Wayne Gordon and John Perkins on the show. A lot of what you're saying fits right in with the organization that we've had on many times with the Christian Community Development Association.
Yeah, absolutely. CCD, brilliant minds and really addressing, you know, it's really a worldwide issue when you think about it, systemic oppression. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, there's global slavery, there's exploitation of children, and there's just infrastructures that systemically oppress people, whether we can see them or not. But something as simple as just buying a T-shirt, you know, a lot of times has effects that we just are not contemplating. And I think it's really important for the faith community to be the hospital that we've been known to be historically.
Man, can you, Mick, can you see the heart he has to reach out to people?
Oh, absolutely. And what I really like is that he's not a shallow mind.
No
way.
Like,
he's not just some empty-headed person that just happens to be able to spin a rhyme. He really is a deep thinker, you know. And apart from his incredible artistic achievements, he's very purposeful in all his thinking, his theology. You know, he doesn't just... His Christianity isn't an add-on, you know, it's thought through. He has a systematic theology that he follows and he lives it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he should be hosting this show, really. What? I mean, he was talking about Downline Ministries, and we're going to be having Pepper Horn, the not director, but associate director of Global Outreach. We're going to be having him on May 7th. He's talking about Christian community development. We've had a number of guys on from that.
And so he knows those circles. He's aware of these people.
Yeah, absolutely, and their philosophies, more importantly. But also, he was touching on, you know, we have a response. We have a responsibility. Even the T-shirt that we buy has an impact, and that's a throwback to Justin Dillon.
Yep.
And
yep.
Made in a Free World that we did. You know, I mean, this is such good stuff. So let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we want to talk about Unashamed, his book that releases on May 3rd, and a very intimate detail about wounds, how they can come back at the least expected time. We'll be right back.
Need to get the word out about your business? Need an effective advertising campaign that gets results? Then you need to contact our sales department. Call our office today at 716-883-3010 or email us at info@wdcxradio.com.
In Canada, we believe in equality, that everyone is valued no matter what race, religion, age, or gender. We all have the same rights and opportunities, unless, of course, you're not born yet. More than 100,000 preborn children's lives are snuffed out by abortion each year in Canada. It's time to end the killing. Join thousands of Canadians for the National March for Life, May 12th, noon, on Parliament Hill. Instead of driving, there are many buses leaving the GTA for the March for Life. For pre-march events and youth conference details, visit marchforlife.ca.
It's a border crossing you don't mind spending an hour with. Crossing Borders starts now.
Hey, we're back, and We've been talking about the music of Lecrae, and I like what was just said, and I like what he said with regard to feeling the desire to know more, you know. And it was because he felt like he was behind the curve, and it really is the rare man that recognizes their own weaknesses and takes steps to fill those gaps, to figure it out, you know. And so mentoring, discipleship, missions, restoration of the community, these aren't words we normally associate with a hip-hop artist on the scale of Lecrae, and yet that's his message. And so we want to get right into this next segment. And so we talked a little bit about some social commentary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's essentially the story of me pressuring my then girlfriend to have an abortion. Obviously, I'll never understand fully the struggle of a woman in her particular situation. I just know that the guilt and the pain that I felt for pressuring her to do something that she wasn't even fully sure she wanted to do. And what I would say is that I think we could do a better job of being available for women in crises like that, and even stopping to say, hey, I'm willing to step in and help you take care of this child, or if you want to put this child up for adoption, I know some families who would love to take care of this child. And I think instead of just kind of throwing hateful slurs or airing them to death, I think we could do a better job of saying, man, we want to stand by and we want to support you. We want to give you some ways to feel loved and cared for in your crisis.
That's so true, so true. But a lot of times the men are the ones that get forgotten about. How did that baggage come about? Because you kept it buried for a while.
Yeah, I kept it buried and didn't deal with it, you know, just because it was, for me, it was out of sight, out of mind. But a lot of times we carry these skeletons that we don't really know how they affect us emotionally, and they're just deep, deep, deep emotional scars. And it didn't come out for me until, you know, some years later when my wife asked me why I kept holding on to this picture of this girl and why I couldn't get rid of it. And that's when it hit me. I was carrying around the guilt and the shame of, you know, what I had really forced her to do. And so guilt says I've made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. But grace says your mistakes are forgiven. And so, man, I'm able to walk in the freedom of forgiveness and help other people to navigate that as well.
Come on, Lecrae Moore. Lecrae, I just want to say thank you for using your gift and your music, your book, Unashamed, to cross borders yourself and reach out to the culture around you, meet them where they're at, and bring truth and grace. We appreciate that, brother.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really honored to catch up with Lecrae and not only dig into his music, but to see where his heart is, to see what he is communicating, the thoughts and the truth that's behind the music that he creates. And wow, you really got to get this book. I mean, Unashamed, it releases May the 3rd. That's the first time you can get your hands on it. And it's a memoir of sorts. One of those details is the detail of this past abortion that he played a role in.
You know, this is one of those things where, you know, we talk about the church and taking care of those within the church and within the body of Christ, and the members of the church that have been hurt by things like abortion. You know, the church has done some incredibly good things in the area of unplanned pregnancy, but you know, we've bobbled that more than a couple of times. You know, we've not always been good at that, and we've not always been good at showing compassion, and we've sometimes focused so much on sin that we forget that there's somebody at the heart of that there's somebody being affected by it.
You know what, with any issue, we always have to go deeper. We always have to ask harder and harder questions because, yeah, we look at the sin and we just we take it a blanket approach. But what about the people that are experiencing these very, very real and difficult issues? Okay, so it doesn't mean that abortion is okay, but we can't ignore the issues that lead people to this very difficult decision.
No, and you know, as you say that, years and years ago, a friend of mine found herself pregnant before she got married, and you know, she felt like such an outcast. You know, she felt like that just everybody had turned on her. Her family was, you know, beating up on her. And, you know, at what point do you say, you know, in spite of her repentance, in spite of the fact that she wanted to be restored to, you know, family and to the church, she always felt that, you know, it was always, it, she was always going to be this black sheep. She was always going to be ostracized from the circle. Now, you know, those kinds of events can drive people out, but we as the body of Christ, what do we do to restore somebody to fellowship? What do we do? What do we do when there's an unplanned pregnancy?
Yeah, I mean, this issue of abortion is so important. And for you Canadian listeners, you know, there's the March for Life happening on Parliament Hill in several weeks from now, but also the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center. We've had Linda Bartsey on a number of times. And man, love, she was a missionary or a missionary's kid. I can't remember one of those two. And I just love her heart and what they are doing. They don't just have outposts. They do. They have five different locations across the GTA. But also, I love what they're doing now is they are training a network of churches, communities, and, you know, fellowship and community where people that find themselves in those situations can find that support, love, care, and acceptance. And the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center has a first response relay coming up. So we wanted to talk to Linda Bartsey about that.
Well, thanks, Michael. Some of our services over the past 31 years really haven't changed a lot in terms of offering pregnancy tests and options information and helping people with parenting preparation and adoptions. But what has changed is the way we go about our work. We just recognize that we need to be engaged very closely with local churches so that as we help people out during that critical pregnancy time frame until they have their child, that they really need that long-term support, and they need to be integrated into a healthy community where people are encouraging them and helping them, and they're getting discipled. And so we started a program we called the First Response Network. We wanted to equip church members to know what to say, what not to say, how to come alongside and be a real support to a woman or to a couple that's facing an unexpected pregnancy. And once a year, we get together on Saturday, the first Saturday of May, Saturday, May 7th, it will be this year, and we have what we call the First Response Relay. And at that particular fundraising event, we like to see as representatives from as many churches across the GTA that agree with our mission, that men and women don't need to feel alone in an unexpected pregnancy. And so churches will come together, form a little bit of a team, raise some sponsorship money so that they can walk the 1 kilometer or the 5 kilometer route with us. Mm-hmm. And last year we had about 300 people, just so much fun, about 30 churches that were represented, and just a great opportunity for so many of the moms and dads that we serve to come alongside and just see that they're not alone and that there's that we really want to care and we really want to support them. And the funding that was raised from last year's relay provided just so much essential core programming, the funding that we needed to be able to continue to serve in the 5 different locations that we have in Toronto.
There has to be a place that are those first responders, and you guys are empowering and equipping and essentially discipling churches to be those first responders. Tell us what these churches usually experience when a woman comes to them.
Well, you know, because we have so many trained first responders across the city, we already have people that have listened really well to their friend or to their relative, and they've been able to understand and walk alongside and just really suffer with them in a sense of understanding what some of the challenges of the pregnancy would be. And these first responders have reached out to them in love. They haven't left them alone. They maybe brought them to the pregnancy care center, and we've been able to offer those immediate support pieces. And then as they've got to know a number of our volunteers that are linked to local churches, they've received some mentorship support, maybe help with budgeting, help in getting a job, help in finding a house that or housing that would be within their budgets, maybe even a help for, I think about even last weekend, there was a young couple, a couple from a Muslim background, and they attended church services of one of our partner churches because there was a group of young men that helped them move so they could be in a more economical apartment. And so when they went to the church, they didn't call it by the church's name. They called it so-and-so's church, Mitch's church. They wanted to go to Mitch's church because Mitch had been so kind to them.
Yeah.
And so they'd already had some exposure to the kindness and the compassion and the generosity of different church members who had already served them. And that made it very attractive for them to want to come on Easter Sunday and see what Christianity was all about in that particular church.
Boy, it really all starts with relationship. And as our listeners probably heard us talking to Lecrae, what about men? And what about catching people after they've experienced abortion? What about these first responders doing that?
Well, Michael, that is just so true, and I am so grateful for Lecrae and others like him that will speak out about the realities of the pain following an abortion. We had a memorial service in February, and we invited those that had been part of our post-abortion program to come and give honor to the child that they weren't able to at that time. And we had men and women attending that, and we are so grateful that the cross of Jesus Christ, there was full atonement. We, making choices like having an abortion, can find forgiveness in Christ. And what's so beautiful is that individuals that have owned their sin, right, and said that, I have done what you told me not to do, but I'm just humbly coming before you, and I'm asking for forgiveness because Christ died and rose again. And they have humbled themselves, but they've found such joy, and they've used the thing that was most shameful, most painful in their lives, and it's being used for God's glory. They're willing to actually testify about how God, through the abortion, has brought there's been good that's been brought out of evil. And they've actually been able to come alongside of so many of our couples, and they share quite openly and honestly. So we've had men and women share in the post-abortion support, and we have a Bible study that's been very helpful called Forgiven and Set Free, and anybody's welcome to that. But we've got a men's program that has been just started over the last year. 85% of the women that choose abortion are choosing it because they're alone. They don't have a supportive partner. They're not married. They don't have a husband or a supportive partner that will help them out. And so we realized that giving support to men with those couples that come in is so critical. And we've got a group of volunteers that are men that are willing to come alongside and give men support. And that's been so much fun to see. It looks a little bit different than the type of support that's given to some of the women, but really focuses on some of the tasks like getting a job. And we've got a fun manual, you know, like a car manual, you know, but dealing with babies, you know, changing under the hood and checking those fluid levels and emergency care. So lots of fun things.
May the 7th, Saturday, is the first response relay. We want to see as many people go out, get involved, and support what the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center is doing. Linda, what can they expect, and how can they find out more information?
They can expect to have a great time, a real fun and family event. They can expect to get to know some other people, enjoy a great walk. For those that are raising funds over $20, we've got a T-shirt for them, and we've got a free lunch, a free barbecue lunch. And they can get some more information on pccfriends.ca. And they can register, and there'll be full information about that event. It starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday, May the 7th. And our services are all outlined on our website, iamnotalone.ca.
iamnotalone.ca. I love the name of that website. Give us the other website one more time for the first response relay.
Sure. pccfriends.ca. pccfriends.ca. And under the events tab, there's all the details about the first response relay on May 7th at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's Linda Bartsey, executive director of the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center. So that's TPCCA.ca. So I want to make sure that you got that address right. You know what Lecrae said earlier? It wasn't in the part where he was talking about his role in his then girlfriend's abortion. He was talking about leadership, and he was talking about that people respond to people that lead with authenticity and transparency, and I think he might have said vulnerability. And that's so true, because here's the thing: when people see your wounds, or actually scars, there's a difference.
Big difference, yeah.
And then he's showing his scars, and he's bringing that to light. when people lead with that, then they can see how their wounds can be healed as well. And that's kind of what what the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center is doing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, just on the note of Lecrae and how he's the relational aspect, he's a student of the human condition. But he likes to understand from the perspective of shoe leather, you know, standing next to the person, not just from a, you know, a thousand mile view. And what really does it look like to see life from that person's perspective? I appreciate his thoughts on the church's stand on racial tensions. The church really should be a hospital that we have been historically, and certainly a place for the sin sick, but also for those things that hurt the members of the body of Christ. And I think this is part of the call for us to be salt and light. And, you know, the Toronto Pregnancy Center, TPCC, you know, they're engaged with the church. They're working with the church to do this. The First Response Network is a good example of where we've come to. We're getting better at showing compassion. We're getting better at walking a mile in somebody's shoes. And this is all part of it. Casting them out obviously didn't work, and it probably wasn't biblical anyway in and of itself. But standing beside somebody that's found themselves in a situation like an unplanned pregnancy is where the church should be. Being in a position of a mentor can make the difference between a woman or a couple choosing to give life to a baby or to abort. You know, that's where we should be standing. The church needs to stand with those that are hurting.
Yeah, you know what? I'm really, really glad to see that the church is doing a better job of that. And what you're saying is that Lecrae is not only gospel center, but he's church center, meaning that that the church is where people can find that help. They're going to be exposed to individuals, but really that the church can be that hospital, and that people should see the church as a place that they can turn to for that fellowship and care and acceptance and compassion, regardless of their situation. That the funnel needs to be reversed, people. If you're listening to this show and you think and what people are experiencing is that there's this very narrow little hole that they can come in and feel accepted in a church, that's going to be really hard to for more and more people to come to Christ. But if they feel like they're accepted in a church and accepted as they are, not only love the sinner and hate the sin, but love the sinner with their sin. And that wide funnel brings them a way that they can see the love of Christ through people.
Yeah, and that wide funnel is a really good way to say it. You know, we own our sin, you know, but we repent. And we, the church, should be willing to walk beside those that have been wounded, even if they've wounded themselves. You know, to say that, to stand there and go, well, you brought this on yourself, does nobody any good, not even the people saying it. But helping someone to do these practical things, to do these everyday things, to walk beside somebody, that is ministry by itself. That is ministry. You know, you hear over and over how abortion is a crime against the unborn child, and it is. But there are multiple victims. You know, there are people that are hurt. And if we really believe the rhetoric, we need to be willing to put legs to our noble thoughts.
All right. So our special thanks to Lecrae for spending some time with us and talking about engaging with culture and crossing borders. And also Linda Bartsey with the Toronto Pregnancy Care Center. If you want to find out more about their services, IamNotAlone.ca, as well as the First Response Relay on May the 7th at TPCC. We got a great show coming up next week. It's Tim Keller.
Yeah, I like him.
Tim Keller Wisdom, it's going to be great, great, great. We're talking about his book, Prayer. We're also going to have
Christopher Baldwin.
Yeah, he's the pastor of Vine Wesleyan Church.
It was a great visit last time he was here. Really good visit.
Oh, yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think he's going to add a ton to the conversation. In fact, the other day, our kids go to the same school. He pulled up and he was playing. He was bumping Andy Mino, so I think he would have probably felt at home co-hosting this show as well.
Well, you know, I look forward to that, but this has been a really good time, and again, we're to the end. How does this happen so fast?
Well, if we're at the end, we should leave our listeners, the fans of Lecrae, with the Lecrae song. Here is Lecrae with Give In.
But I'm focused now and I know it's all about you. You always see me through, that's what you do.
tell me where would I go, where would I be? Love's hard to find, but you're blind and losing your way. And now ain't nobody else for me, it's just you. You got my time all the time, anytime my mind's on you. And they say I'm going too far, but it's satisfying my soul to give you my all. They don't understand what I got, it's so real. They can talk about me, they can kick me out, but can't take away what you give. People telling me that I'm probably too far gone, but they don't understand where I've been, and they walk the road that I walked on. Tell me who I'm gonna call on, what solid ground can I fall on? You everything that I never dreamed of, you give me meaning, it's all on you. You know you got me deep up in this thing, I'm all in. I swear ain't no love like this love that I've been giving. I can't resist, it's just too much, your love is endless. And I don't care what they say no more, no way I did it. I can't.